Bare minimum.
I'm back in. I've never loved you more. I'm back in.
Bare minimum, Mike Gesicki will have a week where he has two touchdowns. Dude.
All right, we are live. Cash, it's good to be back in the studio. Got more ADP coming. It's been too long. It's been over a week. Itching to get back in here, see what's going on. Been back in the lobbies. You were in Utah. I was in Vegas. And the big board on Underdog is 83% full. And free agency has taken its toll. And we're going to see where things land today.
Yeah, now we're back in Ohio. And it's dreary. It's dreary. Yeah. It's raining. But we have big board drafts to do.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be inside anyways. We're not quite the best ball summer. The sunshine is closing in. It's inching in here in Ohio, but not quite there yet. But like you said, that's okay. We're going to go over some...
Drafting really is Ohio sunshine.
Yeah, well, it's our sunshine. Yeah, it's always there.
Fellow Ohioan drafters, the D-gens from Ohio. I mean, when they hear that, they understand.
It's always there when you need it, right? I mean, it's what's not the love? And... You know, if the big board's full, you could always jump into a hockey draft or whatever. I mean, Underdog's got contests for everything. So, drafts for days. Today we're starting off a little macro view over here on Underdog. Cash has some thoughts on some recent hot topics here in the best ball world. We're going to be going over some things that are relevant to the big board. And then we're going into the free agency. I mean, there's been a lot.
It's a frenzy.
A lot happening.
Michigan State's on bun. Let's get this train rolling.
We may each have bets in on the Michigan State game, Kansas State game, which is live right now. So Cash, get in there. You go Galaxy Brain mode right here. Lock in.
Yep.
Tell us what we need to know.
Yep, I'm gonna lock in right now. So I just wanna reiterate a point of the previous podcast, which at this point was like 11 days ago, but looking at ADP just for the last 10 days, one of the points that was made in that podcast was just, and I really think that we need to just continue to think of these tournaments, a lot of these tournaments differently, but this early big board much, much differently than we look at some of the other tournaments as we have more information, which then reflects more correct pricing. But the point that was hit was how much just mispricing there is overall within the market. Like us having a very, very limited amount of information right now. And when you just look over the course of the last 10 days, so that's really the free agency period, there have been 24 players that have had a double-digit rise in ADP. And there have been 21 players that have had a double-digit dip in ADP. And you might not think that that's significant, but like when we get to June, over the course of an entire month, on average, there's like 18 players that have a double digit rise and a double digit fall. And that's like accumulated fall over the course of a month. You may have one player that has a double digit fall or rise over the course of a week. And, you know, those come from different hype pieces and information that we have. But with that being said, I just want to provide like one very, very specific example. Anthony Richardson, right? And this just goes to the point of and the idea of having ADP closing line value market leverage. I'll just come out and straight up say it. Like, I think that this early of a tournament, I just don't think that exists quite as much, especially for players that are going in the double-digit rounds. When we get to the single-digit rounds, like, especially like within the first like 5-6 rounds, like I'm going to be more price sensitive, but for the double digit rounds, I don't think that market leverage really exists this early. And Anthony Richardson's really like the prime example, right? Anthony Richardson was going like round 16, round 17 before the combine, and then he just scored out the wazoo, most athletic freak of a quarterback. And then his ADP climbs to you know, around that 12, 13 turn, currently in the 13th round. A lot of people were saying, you know, hands up, I'm out. I don't want any more Anthony Richardson. I'm going to pack my bags. But the thing is, people, this early, when you have an event like free agency, you could be costing yourself the combinations of the world, Anthony Richardson in like the 13th round, being able to get Perine, who was going after Anthony Richardson at that point, being able to get Damian Harris, who was going after Anthony Richardson, and more importantly, Rashad Penny and Jeff Wilson were going right around Anthony Richardson before his ADP really rose. We'll get into those guys when we really get into breaking down free agency, but if you just completely packed your bags because you had late shares of Anthony Richardson, like, yeah, maybe you got lucky and you picked up a Rashad Penny, Anthony Richardson on a particular build. But if you just put your hands up and you like didn't look at all your builds, if you liked Rashad Penny later, you could have grabbed Anthony Richardson in round 13, picked up Rashad Penny when it wasn't quite that easy to be able to do it in those later rounds just because they were actually being drafted amongst one another. So I really think that point this early in the season is kind of more important that in the double digit rounds. Like, I really don't think that you need to be that cognitive to be like, oh, you know, ADP closing line value, already packed my bags, I'm out. Whereas once we get into the summer months, more of a different strategy, just because more information is priced in for all players. So, you know, that'll be something that we continue to hit on. And I just want to, like, the assumptions that all teams being teams that are being drafted, that have a player at a later ADP, that those teams have a good construction, and B, that those are all going to be advancing teams. I think those are really, really bad assumptions for us to be able to make. I mean, dude, like, Josh, I had Anthony Richardson shares later, and still now after free agency, I go back, I look at some of those Anthony Richardson shares, and it's on, you know, some of the players that are on those teams are on are players that have been negatively impacted, say, by free agency, and it's like, oh shit, you know, maybe that, you know, that team doesn't look quite as good as, you know, if I could have had a team, or maybe I do, I haven't went to review, that's, you know, Anthony Richardson in the 12th to 13th with some of those good free agents now in good situations later in the draft that have since risen.
All right, yeah, and I completely agree. I've been nibbling on a lot of guys that have been rising fast, unafraid, this early in the offseason. And we're going to touch on some of those guys in the free agency portion right here. But first, we're going to touch on some running backs. You have a list of running backs here, all the RB1s. And this could be a good spot to touch on some guys who could be impacted as we start to consider where some of these rookies could be landing. You want to kick us off here?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are just kind of high-level macro thoughts. Already talked about getting exposure to rookies. Went, did that. Pretty much now making a decision to really pick my spots, my late-round guys. I'll just straight up tell you, it's Izzy. That's going to be a guy that I'm going to be a little bit overweight. Fingers crossed. Hope it pays off. And Kendre Miller. Kendre Miller, man, he's the fantasy community favorite, I think.
Yeah. I saw someone made a video that was like, sorry, a negative one that said, sorry, I have to be this guy. So even like the negative stuff on him, people are like somewhat afraid to come out bearish, which, I mean, you shouldn't be. I mean, I'm sure there's a solid bear case, but I have tons of him too.
Yeah, but like, those are going to be more so my guys, but it's like I already said, like I already have exposure to some of the other rookies and some of the other rookies that are now falling, because like we're getting into this weird period where there's not going to be a lot more information on the rookies other than the individual. I mean, what do you call them? Not the combines, but
pro days.
Yeah, exactly. The individual pro days. Other than that, there's not going to be a lot of like a ton of information that's going to drive ADP like extremely volatile.
Nothing concrete, a bunch of hearsay.
Yep, especially by the time that the big board closes. So with that being said, we're kind of in a time period where a lot of rookies are just kind of like arbitrarily falling. Zach Chabernet or whatever the heck his name is. Mm-hmm. Like, I just picked him up two rounds later just because it's just like in that weird influx right now. Yeah. But with the free agencies and the running backs like really landing in good spots, which we're going to hit on those, you look at the current landscape of just the RB1s, and man, I got to tell you that it just seems like a lot of these rookie running backs now, they're just going to end up landing in a spot where it's just going to muddle current situations. We're not going to run through the entire list, but really just from my perspective, I think kind of what pops out more than not is a lot of the running backs that look more at risk than not almost seem to be the second year backs and just kind of where they're currently being priced. Damian Pierce, I mean, again, we'll get into Devin Singletary, but he's the 18th highest RB1 right now. Isaiah Pacheco, Tyler Algier, James Cook, probably not so much just because Damian Harris landed there. Rashad White, like Brian Robinson, and like those are the second year guys. Like they kind of seem to me like they could be like all those guys. Like they don't seem like extremely elite. They seem like there could be a little bit of risk associated with them. I don't know. It's just like a more so random thought.
Yeah, I think especially Tyler Algier, the Falcons, I feel like are going to bring someone in. Maybe
this is the this is the time for the Galaxy.
Yeah, I see him being threatened, and Rashad White too. You know, we said a couple pods ago that something just don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that the Bucs are in such disarray as an organization. But I could see them definitely bringing someone in if it's in the draft or you know another free agency. But another name here that I kind of is kind of scary is Ramondre. You know, the Patriots did bring in James Robinson, but they have been known to draft multiple running backs in the past. And right now, Ramondre seems like a slam dunk in the third round. Everyone loves drafting him, but they could add some people there. Dalvin Cook, you know, it's still up in the air what's going on there. They bring back Alexander Mattison. But with a low price tag, so I'm just thinking that could be setting up for them to bring in someone, keep Alexander Mattison the backup, and still get rid of Dalvin Cook if they cut him. So I think that's a good list to look at and to keep in mind some of these spots. Isaiah Pacheco, too. Man, the guy earned a role last year, but
he just didn't. He didn't fully just take over the role, though.
Yeah,
and that's kind of my concern.
Well, I don't think the Chiefs, if Bijan drops to the Chiefs at the end of the first round, here's the Galaxy. I don't think they would do that again, but that would have to be tempting. Again, as in the, you know, CEH, what they did a few years back with CEH, but that would have to be tempting if you're a team like that because the dudes are such a stud. But that's where my mind went with this list.
Yeah, and I guess really the takeaway is because like there isn't anything that's just like completely glaring. Like to me, I'll just straight up say I think that I think that there's still the like market allure of Tom Brady still being tied to Rashad White. Like I think Rashad White's like at risk of somebody else being brought in, and I think that he's the leading candidate. But the main takeaway from this is think about some of these pieces just overall, some of these RB1s right now. Because when some of these, whoever they are, these rookie running backs get drafted there, even though it'll be after the big board, you know, we're talking about, again, the concept of what's the closing line ADP line of value for the entirety of the year. So at the end of the draft season,
good point. Yeah.
Some of these guys are going to start to be drawn back a bit. So just kind of have that in mind and be thoughtful of it as you're getting highly exposed if you are.
All right, you want to hit on the quarterback shifts or go free agency?
Yeah, just quarterback shifts very, very fast. Already talked about at length, you know, multiple episodes now of quarterbacks being very, very highly priced. Couple main points, just Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they've been just dipping a little bit, but they're still right in line with Diggs and Travis Kelce. Jalen Hurts, I think that Jalen Hurts, we're headed for the 2-3 turn. He made his way past A.J. Brown, and now I think it's going to finding his way more of that 2-3 turn. It's going to become a Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts sort of deal, which just really doesn't overall make sense, but it just goes to show how people or that pricing is tied to stacks. Like I would, as an individual player, I would rather have Jalen Hurts than Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes is being tied to Travis Kelce, so therefore his price is higher.
Right.
But I would just independently, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts. But he'll fall because he's going to be tied to Devonta Smith. And then we talked about specifically the cliffs of Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. The cliffs in with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is going to make his way back to the 4-5 turn. T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, they're right on the 1-2-3 turn. And Joe Burrow right now, his ADP is 38. So, I mean, he's on the 3-4. He's going to make his way to the 4-5. Trevor Lawrence has made his way from 4-5 now to 5-6. And that is also aligned with Calvin Ridley as Calvin Ridley's climbed a little bit to 37.6. And Justin Herbert just making his way right with Trevor Lawrence on that 5-6 turn, and just like Ridley aligns with Mike Williams, who's at 40.1. Little micro strategy, something that I like to do. I know that a lot of people don't like those later picks, Bun, but I love those later picks because they just work out so great from a construction standpoint. You can grab a combination of Mike Williams, Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, and like you can just plan if you're into any of those quarterbacks to be able to get either Trevor Lawrence and Herbert on that next turn. Mm-hmm. And then you can also then plan to get, if you take Amari Cooper, you can plan to get Deshaun Watson 7-8. And additionally, I didn't mention CeeDee Lamb. If you take CeeDee Lamb in the first, then you can also get Dak Prescott 7-8. So like mixing in a combination of multiple of those overall wide receivers and then just having multiple different outs to be able to navigate your draft.
Good stuff. So again, 20 of the 24 top quarterbacks here in the red ADP-wise in the past 10 days. And to give you just a little more color here, you know, up at the top, the only guy who's in the green staying even here, Justin Fields. He's staying green. And some guy who's weathering the storm here a little bit more. He's still down, but it's notable, only down 3.6, or excuse me, only down 0.9 in the past 10 days. That is Deshaun Watson. So I think, you know, I've seen a couple other positive spins on Deshaun Watson. That was your early take.
We're getting there. We're going to get there. Oh, yeah, baby.
So I think that's going to kind of catch on here. Some people are going to realize it. Then, of course, going down the list just a little bit more here, Daniel Jones, baby.
Green.
Dan.
All the way across.
Dan is...
four different statistical ADP categories.
Dan is green. People are realizing it. You know, I continue to draft him.
So Danny got the D. Jones, baby.
I'm going to continue to draft him. He should be ahead of Tua. He should be up there with Dak. Move him up. Dan is for real. All right, free agency.
Free agency, let's rock.
A lot to get to. I want to check my phone, see if the game's out of halftime. We're not going to do that. We are professionals here. Start with the New York Jets, the team making the most noise so far because Aaron Rodgers says he wants to be a Jet. They're still working out the details, but he brings in Alan Lazard. They bring in Mecole Hardman. Did you see the tweet that said Mecole Hardman's now with the New York Browns? Did you see that original tweet?
Someone was like
the NFL. I mean, it was like a legit reporter. And then I think like Schefter retweeted it, like quote tweeted it. So
didn't even look at it. Just took the guy for being credible.
Cleveland Jets was trending on Twitter. It was pretty good. So now, the Jets, obviously we're just waiting for pen to paper, waiting for this to get finalized. Rodgers is going to be there. But, now we have Garrett Wilson moving up in the past 10 days. This shot up Alan Lazard's ADP. Breece Hall up a little bit, and Rodgers up three spots in the past 10 days as well on all this buzz/news. Your thoughts on the Jets?
Yes, and I mean, nothing too crazy. Just for each of these team situations, because a lot of these teams, what we're going to do is hit teams overall that have had a lot of moves and just overall how that team movement has been taking place. The Jets right now are the 24th most expensive or 9th cheapest team based off the first five players being drafted. So the average ADP of the first five players, they're the 24th most expensive or 9th cheapest. If and when Aaron Rodgers signs, they'll jump up to the 20th most expensive or 13th cheapest. Just for comparison context.
So that is not including Rodgers.
Yeah, that doesn't include Rodgers right now for being the ninth cheapest currently. After Rodgers signs, then the price will increase a little bit, and then they'll be the 13th cheapest situation overall to target. Last year, they were the 24th. So, I mean, overall, like when you look at all these different players, it's a completely different team. Still, the team within the market, not too far off from last year. And actually, right now, it's dead on. 2022, last year, they ended the season 24th. Right now, they're 24th. If Aaron Rodgers signed, they'll end up being 20th most expensive. But yeah, it's just, you know, Breece Hall even got a bit of a tick up. Michael Carter's a guy that I've been thinking more about, and Zonovan Knight as well. Zonovan Knight's probably not being drafted at all. A lot of positive sentiment right now just on Breece Hall as a prospect. And I've just been thinking to myself, like, you know, Michael Carter, if Aaron Rodgers,
starting to nibble.
Yeah.
I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for Michael Carter. I mean, when he's had his chances, he's
productive.
He's, yeah.
And with Aaron Rodgers going there, it turns into an overall better situation. You play the, I mean, contingent value if, you know, Breece Hall isn't ready out of the gates. Maybe you have a starter a couple weeks. And also just the contingent value of, you know, maybe Breece Hall, like, just isn't right because he's returning from an ACL injury. I know that everyone's all has butterflies in their heart and stomach for Breece Hall, but
and I get it.
I get it too. I mean, he looked extremely special, but you know, we have to just think about the potential risk and, you know, the potential outcome that he might not be just 100% right out of the gate. So let's just not forget J.K. Dobbins. So I think Michael Carter's kind of interesting if you're looking for like a really low owned guy. Maybe Donovan Knight, but again, this also could end up being a situation. I actually saw right before this podcast that Zeke's narrowed it down to three different teams, and one of the teams that's on that list is the New York Jets.
Mm. What were the other two? I didn't see that. You have them ready? Not to put you on the spot. We can circle back to that. But I was just also going to add that for the Jets, you know, they're not going to just turn into some aired out team now that Rodgers is there. They're still going to depend on their defense. They're still going to depend on running the ball. So if they don't bring anyone in, you know, Michael Carter is going to get work. And I think that's why we're seeing his ADP up 7.1 in the past 10 days. When you get to that late in the draft, you're just looking for names. That was Terrace Marshall, you know, before DJ Moore got put dealt. That was Terrace Marshall. We're just like, people just want names that they know. That's why he was moving up. So I think that's also impacting Michael Carter.
Eagles, Jets, Bengals for Zeke, which, I mean, those are just like nut spots, man.
Yeah. He just wants to win. Makes sense.
But another example of a guy that can just end up being just a wrecker for a current party.
Mm-hmm. Zeke, the party wrecker. All right. From New York, we're going to Cleveland. The connection here, obviously, Elijah Moore, traded to the Browns. So now we have, you know, Deshaun Watson with Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, and DPJ. Amari Cooper's still in the third round. He's up 1.2 in the past 3 days. And Elijah Moore's up two spots in the past 3 days around some of this buzz here. And we already mentioned Watson, who's going in the seventh round. So Elijah Moore now, to note here, going in the same spot as DPJ, so that's something to note as well. David Bell, the other wide receiver, going late, the 20th round. Al's actually taking some few speculative stabs on him, so RIP to those, potentially, because the buzz is, again, Cleveland, based on the Matthew Berry and some other buzz, could be spreading it out much more, changing their offense this year.
The Elijah Moore cohort is going to be back, and they're going to be back full steam.
I might be in that cohort. I was like playing them in DFS last year when there was no hope at all.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that was slim. I mean, you're sick.
It was bad. But the dude shows he got talent. I mean, those are the ones that just he randomly could come back.
No, there was a week. I think Tom, shout out T-Strack, in the den, and then he also had a DFS article for 1 week when Elijah Moore had his best week. I'm pretty sure that
Yeah, he had a glimmer of hope.
I'm pretty sure that Tom was on it. So shout out Tom.
Right in the fantasy playoffs.
But I think that Elijah Moore, I think that as the overall draft season progresses, I think that his ADP is only going to continue to rise. You got a strong fan club for Elijah Moore. They're gonna back him. His ADP is gonna go up. Young, exciting, taught AJ Brown everything that he knows about football. And with that being said, I haven't been a big Elijah Moore guy, but I think that this is just another just small information data point. And this goes to the Matthew Berry article of the gossip that the Browns offense, you know, they want to be more spread. They want to be more five wide. Last year they drafted David Bell. They just brought in now Elijah Moore. They have DPJ. They have Amari Cooper. I want exposure to the Browns. I picked up my first stack with Deshaun Watson, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper, and I was actually able to get David Njoku last night. So I'm in.
Don't forget about the Joker.
I'm in on it.
New Orleans Saints. Speaking of teams making a lot of moves, bringing in Derek Carr, bringing in Jamal Williams as well, giving them some cash there, and bringing back Michael Thomas. A little surprising. Was not expecting that, honestly, giving him a one-year deal, giving him another shot here. So we have Derek Carr with Olave, Michael Thomas, and our boy Rashid Shaheed. And Michael Thomas, notable here, looking at some of these ADPs, his ADP is climbing a bit. People are saying, wow, he is going to seemingly play this year and be on the field potentially. So
people love Michael Thomas.
Ninth round ADP right now. You know, no juice here with the Saints, right? I mean, really the biggest question mark to me.
Olave, your boy Olave.
Yeah, I'll still grab some Olave shares, you know, when he's there, because I go wide receiver heavy to start. Jamal Williams in the 10th round, we should mention him. It's fine, whatever, if you need running back depth. No strong feelings yet. To me, it's the tight end situation. It's like, do we draft Taysom Hill at all in the 13th round, or are we drafting Juwan Johnson because they bring back Juwan Johnson? That's the big question for me, because, I mean, you were making fun of my tight ends earlier. Tight ends tough, man. Like,
well, I'm very observant when people post their teams and people share their teams, and I draft with people, and I've taken note that for whatever reason you're just continuing to tack on the rookie.
It's not by choice. I just get stuck, and I'm just like, well, here's
Michael Meyer for whatever. It's always Michael Meyer.
Two touchdowns this year.
Yeah, but no. I think overall with the same situations, I think that there's a lot to unpack here, specifically with ADP. Let's start with the price overall, even compared to last year. Like, they're priced relatively similar currently right now. They're the 17th most expensive. Last year, they finished 19th. But since Derek Carr has been brought to the Saints, Olave was going mid third. I mean, he's that firm 2-3 turn guy. I mean, he has an ADP of 24, and then just with the running backs, like the inverse correlation of Jamal Williams last 10 days. I mean, he's been up three spots. Alvin Kamara last 10 days, he's down 12. I mean, it's almost a pick'em right now between Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams. If you're in on the Saints, like I think that you got to pick up some Jamal Williams. I think that no matter what, Alvin Kamara is probably going to be suspended. And I mean, dude, Jamal Williams, the coaches love him. He knows how to score touchdowns. So if you're into the narrative that the Saints are going to be a solid offense, and actually for me, because I'm out on Derek Carr, I'm going to be mixing in Olave. I'll be mixing in both tight ends. Both finished top eight last year. Michael Thomas, I really don't need the exposure. Rashid Shaheed, already packed my bags, but there's nothing here that just really, really, really.
Jamal's just the hole plugger at running back when you need that RB3, or if you're, you know, truly sick and he's your RB2 by that point when you get to round 10. I mean, that's what he is to me. I mean, he's just the classic whatever, you know, just positional flexibility, drafting flexibility for later on. but it,
but,
spot.
But it, but if you like the Saints in the situation, or you don't want to have,
well, if you like the Saints, you're sick. I mean, you're just
You're sick. But if you think that they could be a competent offense, but you don't want to be overexposed to the stacks, then Jamal Williams is a nice way, I think, to kind of get a little bit of exposure to be able to have a guy on, your RB3, RB4.
Yeah, right now they're going to need him. I mean, who knows if they add a late round rookie or something too, but looks like they're going to need him. Patriots, they've been busy again. Old Bills busy up here. They're adding James Robinson, bringing in Sicko. Dun, dun, dun. Bringing in Juju. That has to be one of those random signings to me, bringing in Juju. I mean, what are your thoughts here on the Patriots? What are your feeling? I mean, what do you think about Sicko? I mean, so, it's disgusting, right? I mean, this isn't what we wanted.
Multiple thoughts. Sharps like Silva, even just with James Robinson being signed. Think that that's a good thing for Ramondre right now. I mean, going on the 3-4 turn, I've been starting to pick up more shares of Ramondre, and he's kind of like at the end of that tier of like really, really strong third round RBs. So like Ramondre up a little bit. Pierre Strong, like, I think that was just, quite frankly, I think that was just like a bad pick. And I feel like everyone was just like that. That was an easy pick, just to be able to continue, just like pick up Pierre Strong shares late. But
I didn't even know people were doing that.
His ADP was like rising from right. The 20th round to like the 19th round. Like he was kind of a guy where like badge players were always kind of just arbitrarily clicking. But like Pierre Strong, more so, I feel like people were clicking because, like, you know, they thought that he was like going to be for sure the RB2, and 100% be the pass catching specialist. But like, if something happens to Ramondre, I think that this 100% speaks to it. I almost galaxy brained into some Kevin Harris shares because no one would trap Kevin Harris. But like, if something happened to Ramondre,
yeah,
I don't think that Pierre Strong was the next guy up. I think that they're just going to go to like another bruiser like they did last year with Kevin Harris. I think that James Robinson speaks to that. But Ramondre up a little bit, Pierre Strong now down, and Mike Gesicki. So I know that they're polarizing thoughts on Gesicki, and this is my take. Obviously, within free agency,
give me some hope.
Obviously, within free agency, you're always rooting for a extremely fantasy friendly landing. You know, like if Gesicki went to the Chiefs, or if Gesicki, if he landed on one of the best offenses, like then you're gonna like. Going to be really excited about it. However, and this is the big however, there's no team that knows how to use the tight ends like New England. A, he will be utilized. B, C, he reunites with the offensive coordinator, who the offensive coordinator is was his coach at Penn State.
Needed this. I needed this. I mean, you're making me feel better.
And, I mean, dude, Bill Belichick knows exactly what Mike Gesicki is.
That's the thing. You're right.
He's
a specialty. He's a specialty player.
This is a divisional foe. I mean, he's played against Mike Gesicki multiple times. He knows who Mike Gesicki is. And what I previously said with Mike Gesicki is one of two outcomes that you're really rooting for. You're rooting for the extremely fantasy friendly environment, or you're rooting for him to go to a team that knows what he is and will use him in the right way. This is best ball. Mike Gesicki will have at least bare minimum.
I'm back in. I've never loved you more.
Bare minimum, Mike Gesicki will have a week where he has two touchdowns. Dude.
God, you're right. Bill looked at him and said, this guy can score touchdowns. Get him on the field in the red zone, and we're going to give him 8 touchdowns this year.
The dude's going as tight end 20, and the market actually, they're saying that it's a bad thing. He's been down over the last 10 days, five spots over the last 3 days, 2.5. But again, Mike Gesicki is just overall, he's a better and best ball tight end. Like, I wanted one of two outcomes. I either wanted a really good fantasy environment or I wanted a landing spot where I think that somebody will know how to use him. And I think between Bill Belichick, who knows him, between being a divisional foe, and the OC, who was the coach that brought him into Penn State when he was the, what's the tight end of the year?
Oh, the
Mackey.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he won the freaking Mackey award. So, I mean, I definitely think that there could be worse landing spots than New England. I'm perfectly fine with my Jacicco exposure.
And the podcast right here. I mean, I can't get any happier than this. Juju, you couldn't pay me to draft him. I probably won't draft him once the entire offseason. I'm just going to say that right now. I don't know if I'm out of line there, but that's just how I feel. And probably the only other guy that I like in the late rounds here is Tyquan Thornton, just because he's fun. Going in the 15th round. Juju's going in the 9th round right now. Boy, does the market hate Mac Jones. He's falling again. He's in the 16th round. And sometimes, I mean, it's like 19th, 20th round. He's still there.
My last high-level thought, and this is something that we consistently talk about.
Stay up there.
When we speak of targeting situations, like, we always got to just raise the caution flag a little bit for the cheap situations that are easy to stack, and you gravitate to those situations it's just easy to navigate within a draft. It's like, oh yeah, you pick up Mac Jones, and then you're able to grab Thornton.
I mean,
grab Parker, you grab Osborne in the last round, and the only guy wide receiver that's being drafted before Mac Jones is Juju Smith-Schuster. This is just what we need to remember, though. These cheap situations that we gravitate towards, in this long drafting time frame. They're cheap situations for a reason, and it's because A, they were bad last year, B, they need a shit ton to go right this year, and C, like, there's a lot of uncertainty. Mac Jones, I think he could be solid, but these weapons aren't great. Fourth cheapest right now, first five players last year, second cheapest. I caught myself in that pattern last year where I was picking up Mac, where I was picking up Mac Jones, and I'm not going back there. I don't want to overweight the situation. There's more that needs to go right for this to turn into like a really hot situation. They need to get away from Patricia. There needs to be like a complete change within the offensive play calling. They need to quit being a run first team. They need to throw the ball more. Mac Jones needs to be able to take a step forward. Like, dude, there's a lot there. It's more risk than I want to be able to accept this early in the draft season.
I'd rather have a piece of this next cheap stack, and that's the Raiders, because they bring in handsome Jimmy G, who's already getting treated very well in Vegas. Lots of
sex, baby.
Lots of sex coming his way. He's coming in, and he's in the 15th round, a little ahead of Mac Jones. So that's what I mean. Just give me the Raiders all day. Play indoors, got more weapons. Bring in OJ Howard. We'll at least mention his name. Nice to see you again, OJ.
Welcome to the podcast, OJ.
Austin Hooper, welcome back to the podcast. Both 20 rounders here with Darren Waller out the door. And Jacoby Myers coming in here as the Hunter Renfrow. Killer here.
Oh man, God, you're really down. I'm just gonna have to play Mr. Positive.
Well, same day, sicko.
And optimistic
Renfrow.
Here.
No, I mean, I'll buy the dip on Renfrow. I'm not worried about that. And rumblings that he could be going elsewhere, it doesn't matter. I mean, he can be a free agent. I'm still gonna be picking up shares in the 20th round because I know what he's capable of. But Jimmy G's ADP barely goes up at all. The rest of these guys, mostly flat across the board.
29 spots. Jimmy G, last 10 days. 10,
okay, I was looking at last three. Excuse me. Last 10 days.
I mean, come on. Let's get a full analysis here.
Okay.
Jimmy G, I've been pumping that handsome fellow. And I mean, dude,
lots of Jimmy G acting.
Dude, I mean, come on. Dude, that was so obvious. The gap between Jimmy G and all the other quarterbacks, even like Mac Jones.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it was a wide gap, and you could just pick up Jimmy G just very, very easily as your third.
Three square.
It was a free square. He ends up going like there's one or two situations it seemed like he was going to land on. It was either going to be Vegas or it was either going to be the Jets. It really trended towards Vegas. So I'm going to pat myself on the back. Thank you. Good job, Rob, for getting us
a big
sack of Jimmy
in the best ball streets. No one's going to do it for you.
Yeah,
you got to be your own best friend.
But I mean, let's hit on just like Austin Hooper, O.J. Howard, those are last-round mix-ins for me only as really like stack options if you want them. I actually just picked up an Austin Hooper share with Jimmy G.
Hooper.
And actually with Jakobi Meyers. So talked about Jakobi Meyers. Jakobi Meyers almost felt like a market sentiment type of player as last year Russell Gage. Russell Gage kind of rose, like you saw with Jakobi Meyers early, and then Russell Gage landed in a really good spot. He landed in Tampa Bay, and then he shot up 2-3 rounds. Remember, he made his way to 6-7 turn. I think that's what would have happened with Jakobi if he would have landed in a really, really good situation. But he didn't land in a really, really good situation. He landed in an okay situation. The market doesn't like it. In the last 10 days, he's down four and a half spots.
Good comparison there.
Four spots last seven. And because I wasn't grabbing shares within the eighth round, we'll get to Brandon Cookies. You better believe I was injecting that cookie over Jakobi Meyers. But because he's falling, I've actually been picking up on the dip. I just got a late ninth round share, and then the market doesn't like it with Hunter Renfrow. But as we're going to be able to transition into the Giants and Darren Waller, I think that Darren Waller leaving is actually, and if Darren Waller was still there and Jakobi was there, I'd like be really, really concerned, I think, about Hunter Renfrow. However, dude, I think Hunter's going to, I think at his price, like, I think that you're overweight before Bun. But I mean,
I hope it keeps falling. I mean, I hope it's 15.
I mean, that's the game. That's the game that we play. He falls, and you're able to lower your average cost basis. It's gonna be okay, my friend.
This time of year, I just love grabbing guys who can play the game, and then hoping that the pieces shoot first, ask questions later. There's so much that's gonna happen between now and the end of the season. Pieces are gonna be moving all around. I just want guys that can ball. I mean, who can ball better than Hunter?
Fuck being sharp. Sometimes we just need to accept that fantasy is about being fun too. And if you didn't think that Hunter Renfrow was fun, then I mean you don't like fun.
Then you don't like wide receiver twos. Because that's what he was. All right.
Yeah, but let's transition over to the Giants.
All right. Speaking of, we were early in the offseason. We said we think the Giants are going to be super aggressive. We call out Waller, and there he goes off to New York. We're tapped in now with Dable. I could feel it early, and now we're in Dable's head. We're gonna keep riding this. So now they bring in Darren Waller, which I think is gonna be a great fit. They're trying to piece this together, right? They're trying to piece this together. Give Dan the weapons that can take him to the next level. They bring in Paris Campbell, Darius Slayton. See, Slayton's for sure back. I didn't see that one. Wasn't sure. Okay, Slayton's back. Okay, they brought him back. And Sterling Shepard, I was surprised about that one because he felt like a player that was kind of on the way out. So,
and they signed Jamison Crowder today. So, this is overall this is where I'm at. I mean, let's just hit it right out of the gate. Darren Waller to the Giants is hot. I mean, my God. I couldn't have dreamed up in my personal fantasy dreams a better landing spot for Darren Waller with my exposure. When I'm also a I do believe in Brian. And I do believe in Daniel Jones.
Are you down with Dan?
Stan.
We're down with Dan.
And the fact that Darren Waller landed there, I mean, Bun, I'm going to be screaming it all year. Dan to Darren, to Darren, baby. Yep. And nothing makes, from a construction standpoint, nothing gets me quite as excited as the idea of having a dual onesie separation within a given week. And what I mean by that is when a quarterback slaps and he gets a 30 ball, and then a good majority of that volume goes to the tight end, And that tight end scores over 20, which over 20 point scores are very few and far between. There are very, very few combinations of quarterback tight end that can both hit that on a consistent basis. The premium price versions right now, and they're premium price for a reason. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, if Lamar ends up going back to Baltimore. And I think that this is the cheap version of that. I'm tickled pink.
I'm staying in. There's going to be questions around Waller if he can still do it. I'm in.
I'm not worried.
I'm not worried. The price is right. I mean,
eighth round is
last
completely
10 days,
fine.
He's up 11.5. So big move. I'm still, but we've talked about that. I'm fine with them. I'm fine with them there.
If Darren Waller can be Darren Waller, and even if not old Darren Waller, like 2020, but if he can be just 20 point games plus three above 15, I mean, that's five, what would be considered, like, I don't know, top 20th percentile for tight end scores. Yeah, I think that he has that in his range of outcomes, and I want it. If you guys are fearful, good more shares for cash. And then my other takeaway really is just like if you can get Daniel Jones is a separate version of Patrick Mahomes with his wide receivers. He's the cheap version. Like within the marketplace, Daniel Jones is like the cheap version of Patrick Mahomes. You're able to get a cheaper version of Travis Kelce with Darren Waller, and then you're able to get the really cheap wide receivers, which you're really not sure who the wide receiver is going to be, if there is going to be one. But it's so easy to be able to get Daniel Jones and then mix in the guys late. I already talked about my Isaiah Hodgins bags. But with that being said, I think that Darius Slayton is one of the most mispriced players right now within the market. Like, when you just think about it, Wandell coming off the ACL injury, they re-signed Sterling Shepard coming off an injury, they signed Jamison Crowder, all those guys are slot guys. I would rather have Darius Slayton over Wandell Robinson, and I would rather have Darius Slayton over, actually, it's kind of
I
the
do
same.
Think Wandell, considering the injury, this is where he should be going if he hadn't been injured. Right, like maybe not even that much higher. But coming off the injury, I feel like this is a little pricey for him. My note is, I think it's almost guaranteed. I mean, almost guaranteed that they're going first round receiver. I think they're keeping foot on the pedal.
I agree.
And loading up. And this is what's kind of weird. We were talking in the den today about, well, it seems like they're set up to take an outside receiver. We said Quentin Johnson. We said Jalen Hyatt is two potential examples, but there's also this buzz around Zay Flowers, who's a smaller receiver, and it's like maybe like they want multiple of these guys, you know, like these small receivers. Maybe that's their type that they're kind of building around. They bring in Paris Campbell too. Maybe they want two or three of these guys on the field. Maybe they really want to spread it out, have like two, you know, maybe a little bit like Arizona, two slot type players on the field at the same time. So that's all I'm wondering, but I think guaranteed they bring in a first round receiver, but still agree that Slayton should be up closer to Wandell than Wandell's overpriced.
Right, mix rookie wide receivers with Daniel Jones.
Yep. Another big one here, Chicago Bears. By the way, I put that remote there in case you wanted to do anything, not to foretell what may or may not be happening.
Yeah, we're running a little longer than expected.
Behind the scenes right now, it may be an extremely tight game. But Chicago Bears, okay, now this is exciting.
So we're going to roll through this now.
Dante Foreman, bring him in to be with Khalil Herbert. I think most of us expected, you know, we still like Herbert, but we expected him to bring someone else in. Robert Tonyan in the tight end room with Cole Kmet. And the big one, DJ Moore to join Darnell Mooney and the ghost of Chase Claypool, who reportedly is still on the team. And I do want to mention, too, Valus Jones, because, you know, rookie last year, they kind of used him in different ways. He's got athletic abilities in the 20th round. I was scooping a few different shares.
That's actually, I like that. I feel like
he could still be like a gadget guy, right, that could get like two or three touches a game. have two or three spike weeks. So I at least wanted to mention his name. But the way it sets up right now, the Fields, DJ Moore stacks, I mean, they line up perfectly if you want them. DJ Moore passed 10 days. He's up 2.6 spots. We already covered the QBs. So we know where Fields is at here. He's the only one that's been able to maintain his ADP. What are we thinking here for the Bills high level? Or excuse me, Bears.
High level. This is Philadelphia 2022. It's Philadelphia 2022. Market and everything. Wide receivers not quite as priced as high. A little bit depressed because you know AJ Brown obviously being a second rounder. Devonta Smith, he was like that. He's like 6'7", uh-huh. And with the Chicago Bears, you have DJ Moore who's going in the fourth round, and then Darnell Mooney with in the ninth. However, talking about a quarterback that is very 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 high priced, you're talking about a quarterback that we haven't seen the passing upside quite yet, so there's a little bit of that fear, and you're going to have to pay to be able to get the wide receivers. So I think that's kind of a similar comparison, but the big comparison is just like Philadelphia last year. I mean, Philadelphia the year before, just rush first team, mm-hmm. and we kept saying it last year, like, dude, just get Miles Sanders, handcuff him with Kenny. It's just, I mean, the Chicago Bears rush first team last year, just signed Donta Foreman, rush first team this year. The running back situation's priced down. Just tag them both. Mm-hmm. Khalil Herbert, Donta Foreman.
And I'm sure we'll get more clarity later in the offseason for how that backfield's going to shake out. But right now I'm fine mixing both those guys. On to the Panthers, another team that's making moves at the running back position. Bringing in Miles Sanders, there's already some buzz about him potentially being a three-down back. I think that came right from Frank Reich. So that would be big. Hayden Hurst now on the Panthers, and Adam Thielen joining Terrace Marshall. And, yes, Visca.
Dude, let's go back to the cheap ordeal. Last year they were the sixth cheapest. And this year, first five, they are the cheapest. Obviously, they're going to draft a quarterback. And no, I don't expect that to change at all. Miles Sanders, I'll take as a one-off piece, mix in here and there. Mm-hmm. Hayden Hurst, have no problem with Hayden Hurst. Can buy into the cheap price tag, rookie quarterback likes tight end narrative.
Of course.
Other than that, just piss on it.
Miles Sanders up 15 spots in the last 10 days. Houston Texans, another team that is just putting together a bunch of random pieces. Bringing in Devin Singletary to join Damian Pierce. Dalton Schultz, okay. Robert Woods, okay. And Noah Brown, okay. So the Texans are really being the Texans. Devin Singletary popped up 5.8 spots in the last 3 days. Dalton Schultz, maybe the most significant one here because he's going in the 11th round. Down one spot in the past 3 days. Down 8 spots in the past 10. And I guess I would just say Nico Collins too, because he's kind of popping up in the past 3 days. He's up 5, really the only notable number out of this group. Anything on the Texans?
Yep, Brandon Cooks being out of town. I think that you have to like Nico Collins' price tag. I mean, 15th round. I've been grabbing plenty of shares. Robert Woods, I mean, is pretty much like Adam Thielen for Carolina. And the reason not to buy Dalton Schultz is for the reason to be able to buy Hayden Hurst, which is Hayden Hurst is, yeah. I mean, it's literally the exact same sort of narrative. Dalton Schultz, like he's not an athletic specimen. Like he's not an extremely exciting player. We had talked about him being a free agent. Like you really, really wanted the good landing spot. This is not a good landing spot. This is just full tight end rookie quarterback narrative. If I'm going to be getting exposure to that particular narrative, I'll take the cheaper Hayden Hurst in round 17 versus round 11. Dalton Schultz.
Yep. Vikings, and a good one here for you as well, as we talked about KJ Osborne, now Thielen out. Osborne has shown his potential in the past, and he's moving up draft boards now. In the past 10 days, he's up 8.3 spots. He's in the, wow, he's in the 10th round. I didn't realize that. Up 3.6 in the past 3 days.
Yep. So, I sent a tweet. If I sent a tweet, I mean it. And at that point, he was going right on the 11-12 turn. I tried to get shares. I feel like I always got sniped. Didn't get quite enough exposure to KJ Osborne. I mean, this is priced at the expectation now that he's going to be the wide receiver too. If somebody ends up being drafted, it's starting to get to be a little bit pricey. I'll nibble here and there based off the construction.
Yep. Cowboys, speaking of cookies, they bring in Cooks. Good. A good landing spot here, you know, worked out really well. I think a good pickup for the Cowboys, good spot for Cookies. He gets to go to a competitor after being on the Texans. Well, sort of being on the Texans. He was only there about half the time last year. Cowboys bringing back Tony Pollard, bringing in Ronald Jones. And then the other question mark is tight end. Are they going to run with Ferguson and Hendershot, or are they going to bring someone else in? Cooks, in just the past 3 days, Brandon Cooks is up 7.4 spots. Cookies on the rise.
Cookies packed in the pantry with an abundance of milk. I'm going right back to the well. I'm going to be dipping milk and cookies all year. Had a bunch of Brandon Cooks exposure. No, to be completely honest, I think that the most that we'll probably see him climb right now he's going in the early eighth round. I think that maybe like as like deep draft season progresses, as the market is like really refinedly priced, like maybe he makes his way to the 6-7 turn, but that even seems to be a little bit high. I'll buy and I'll mix in Michael Gallup pieces. Michael Gallup was coming, was coming off that ACL injury. Michael Gallup's, I think, can still be a better and best ball player. He is falling as Brandon Cooks rises, and Ronald Jones. I mean, we're back playing the game. My bigger concern is that
I think they're going to bring someone else in.
I think they're going to bring somebody else in too, and I think that the Tony Pollard excitement could decrease a little bit, although I don't have a lot of Tony Pollard shares, but I mean, as a fan of football, I'd love to see it, and I'd love to buy even a higher price Tony Pollard. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, so weird with the Gallup. Like, I mean, Gallup has shown tremendous ability in the past, so you know, just leaving him for dead doesn't quite feel right. Right now he's in the 13th round, but you know, I feel like Dallas is going to run the ball, so I don't know how much we're gonna have to go around here.
Maybe Jake Ferguson is the Pierre Strong version of the Dallas tight ends. Like, no one's drafting Peyton Hendershot. Maybe Peyton Hendershot is the guy. I need to do more R&D.
Yep. 49ers, just looking at the quarterbacks here because they bring in Sam Darnold. You got some notes here on Sam Darnold? What's going on?
No, I mean, we're hitting every angle of free agency here. Sam Darnold, people are saying that that's a bad thing for Trey Lance. I really don't know what to make of it. I would personally be surprised if they walk away from Trey Lance. But with that being said, like, I'm not going to be within this first tournament just because I'm really trying to mitigate and manage my overall risk. Like, I just don't need to be completely overexposed to Trey Lance. So I'm kind of just pumping the brakes a little bit. I'll still be overweight to the average.
Yeah, I think 8%. You know, Purdy's health is in question. They need a backup there. And Sam Darnold's agent probably maneuvered this thinking, I need to get this guy in a stable situation and, like, learn. Maybe he could become a starter again at some point, and that'd be a good place to learn. All right, running back specific, rapid fire here. Philadelphia Eagles, the big one. Beef Jr.
Penny Loaf.
Rashad Penny, great landing spot for him. Shooting up the draft board, 62 spots in the past 10 days.
It might as well be 61.9 spots.
Yes. And great landing spot for him. Great pickup by the Eagles. Just, you know, really good stuff. As soon as, when the stars align on something like this, and I got burnt. You know, I had like no penny. I feel horrible for saying that.
Oh,
I feel
my
embarrassed
gosh.
And
come
ashamed.
On, he at least had to have some.
No, I'm sick. I'm sick to my stomach. I can't believe I'm in this position, but I'm just happy for the loafer, happy for Beef Jr. that he's going to be able to, you know, and I'm still, like we talked about at the beginning, I'm fine buying into this guy in the penny here in the 10th round, even though he's up so much. Because it's going to be a great situation. Just, I mean, he's going to have big weeks. We can argue season long comes around. If you want to argue how long he's going to stay healthy, you know, give me 6, 7, 8 weeks from Penny. They're going to be nice, man. I mean, they're going to be nice.
It's really this simple. Rashad Penny is now a running back on one of the best offenses in the league behind one of the best offensive lines. And that's pretty much all that you need to know. I want to see the NFL draft still happen before mm-hmm. I buy into a complete rise in ADP. But yeah, I think that this particular price is more than justified. I think I was sitting at like 14%.
Good for you.
Yeah, sitting at like 14%. But with that being said too, if you're in a room with big Kenny Gainwell dips, dude, I'll average my my cost basis and I'll collect a little bit of those shares.
Yeah, I mean, he's not.
Actually, I was in early on Gainwell, so I wouldn't be lowering my average cost basis.
You know, he can still have plenty of weeks with a significant role in that offense. So, Buffalo Bills bringing in Damian Harris to join James Cook, Naeem Hines. Shout out Davis Pang for his shares on Damian Harris. Harris jumps 18 spots in just the past 3 days. He's now in the 12th round, going as the RB44 off the board.
This will be a 10th round guy minimum. Mm-hmm. And I feel rather good about that. And also we labeled him the skull fucker for a reason. And I think that there is a little bit of reason to be concerned about James Cook because of that. Damian Harris scores touchdowns, man. Damian Harris will be the goal line back. This is half point PPR. Yes, receptions are awesome, but if James Cook isn't getting the touchdown equity, it's really going to hurt him in half point PPR. One of the best offenses in football. How can he not love having a bunch of exposure to Damian Harris? Mm-hmm. Damian Harris is in my top five.
He's James Cook is down 5.7 spots in the past 10 days.
Quite honestly, like every grinder on Twitter, after the Damian Harris, like everyone was taking screenshots of their Damian Harris exposure. I feel like if you're like a grinder, like 80% of grinders have like 20% plus Damian Harris. It's wild.
Okay, where are we at? Jacksonville.
Yeah, so this just goes back to the gossip of Travis Etienne and, you know, them wanting to bring in multiple running backs. Instantly signed Jamichael Hasty, who's going in the 20th round. And then yesterday they signed D'Ernest Johnson. I think
they're going to draft someone too, like a fourth round. I don't know. You know, I don't know what their pick situation is, but
I'm raising,
I think they're
at this price, at this price, I'm raising the red flag on ETN. I think that if you've been just consistently buying, I think that you need to pump the brakes a bit.
Yeah. We could have a better buying opportunity. Maybe it's after the big board. But yeah, I agree. Detroit bringing in David Montgomery. And after all these years, Cash, after all these years, I'm finally happy picking up some DeMonte shares. So that's how you know it's probably bad.
Yeah, I'm mixing in a bit of shares because I literally did not have one David Montgomery share. And it just goes back to the point, even though if you hate the player with the uncertainty of just not knowing the landing spot, that you just mix them in. If you're playing high volume, I didn't do that. Shame on me. But just to the point of combination of players, I don't like. There could be still better combinations later within the draft, and yeah, I've been mixing in a little bit of David Montgomery. I think that this is more just a red flag with DeAndre Swift. We just need to take it for what it is. Detroit's just they view him as like a more of a change of pace, third down back, man.
By the way, I'm not sure if you could tell by the look on my face when you're saying the Grinders all had Damian Harris. I was like, oh my God, do I have enough Damian Harris? And I checked, I have 17%. So thank God. I didn't want to be out of the Cool Kids Club. I'm still on there.
Just need to get a red badge.
I know. That may take me a while. Broncos. Samaje Perine.
Shout out another country.
Perine.
Yep. So another country. Shot me a DM and he just straight up said, Samaje Perine's just going to continue to climb. And honestly, I couldn't agree more. I looked more into Javonte Williams and his injury. I mean, it's like every ligament. It's then also I heard that like Sean Payton called up Samaje Perine and said, like, have you seen how I use running backs? I think that with Javonte Williams, like he's not going to be ready out of the gate. This could be a really, really good opportunity for Perine. If they don't like bring in anyone that's a serious threat, I mean, this is a guy that could jump multiple rounds. I've been aggressively actually over the last week picking up shares. Shout out another country.
And the thing is with the Broncos, they don't have a lot of picks, right? So it's not like they have a lot of room to just be adding rookie running backs because they traded their entire franchise for Russ. So just something to note there, a little tad bit safer. I mean, if they bring in a guy, it's going to be fourth, fifth later round, right? So just another note. Oh, boy. This game's getting hot. We better go through it. Vikings. So this is a big one, though. I mean, they bring back Alexander Mattison, a guy I was buying a lot. Dalvin Cook, we're kind of wait and see here with Dalvin Cook. It does feel like we're at the end of the rope, the end of his reign. But, you know, they cut Madison for a bargain, and I continue to pound the table, say Madison's a stud. I think the dude can really, really play. But we're going to have to wait and see how this unfolds for right now.
Yeah, if Cook ends up leaving and Alexander Mattison is the starter, then Alexander Madison's going to be one of
11th round right now.
I mean, he will be one of the best players to have exposure to in all a big board. Vikings, I mean, awesome offense, awesome situation. We just don't know. We don't know yet. As much as it could be a positive thing, I mean, maybe Dalvin Cook's back and he's still the backup. Still, you have the contingent value.
Yep, it could be a thing where they use both and he's just superior talent. So, yeah, maybe like a Zeke, Tony Pollard thing from last year. Obviously different types of backs, but situationally. All right, final two situations here. This is just wide receivers. We wanted to look at the Bills and the Falcons. Looking at the Bills, Isaiah McKenzie gone, Deonte Hardy in, and then we have rumors that DeAndre Hopkins could be going there, so I wanted to at least mention that. Boy. And if that did happen, I mean, that would be hot. I don't know if Diggs would still be worth the 7th overall pick.
Hopkins is spicing something up.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what a big domino to fall that is. Like, besides Lamar, is that the biggest one still out there? So that'd be interesting. If they get Hopkins, obviously, I think that would mean you could be a lot more flexible with Diggs, work him inside, use him in different ways, help get him more exposure. And, again, we talk about this. If they do bring someone in, Gabe Davis right now in the 7th round, if he falls to that double-digit round territory, like with the Hopkins signing, I'm going to be still nibbling. I'm still going to be nibbling on Gabe as the deep threat in this offense because I think that's who he should be. He's not a true number two. He is a big play splash red zone player.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he's no matter what a better and best ball player. Gabe Davis isn't a guy that I'm trying to have in redraft and just roll out every single week. Mm-hmm. He has really, really high highs and really, really low lows, and that's better for best ball.
And Falcons bring in Mac Hollins, enjoy Drake London. Real quick, Drake London at ADP or Burke?
I mean, they're going a round apart. So yeah.
Which one at ADP? Trey Burke or?
Oh, you mean just at ADP.
Yeah, at each ADP. Who would you rather have?
Drake London's going by Terry McLaurin. I'm a big Terry McLaurin fan. Terry McLaurin, his ADP will not. I mean, his ADP will rise like it does every single year. So for that, I would say I would say currently Burke just because he's cheaper. However, I like Drake London more as a player.
Oh my God, and true professionalism from you as he's given the take. The game is going into overtime with Cash holding a bet on the Spartans, Michigan State.
God, would I mean, I would have had to maintain my
sitting here watching.
I would have had to maintain my professionalism, but that guy went right to the basket. Yeah. I thought that he was going to have an easy layup. Oh boy, we're going to OT, bun.
I'm just sitting here sweating.
Oh God,
you're closing it up.
I know. I really need to finish with that take. However, the important thing with the Atlanta wide receivers is that Mac Hollins was signed, and again, there are very few players that flash 25-point-plus upside that are going in the last round of best ball drafts currently. Mac Hollins, he is the only other wide receiver from Atlanta currently being drafted. Those are the only two. Drake London and Mac Hollins.
Only two of them. Yeah, I mean, Mac has shown he can get it done. All right, any closing notes here? We'll be back in the next couple of days now that we got our trips over. We're not leaving town like Beaver is, going on all these golf trips and stuff. I mean, it's time to lock in, but we'll be back with some more.
I went up one of those lifts, like one of the ski lifts or whatever.
Yeah.
And on one of the ski lifts, it had the sticker, stuck in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, and here we are. But when you're stuck in Ohio, you have underdog best ball drafts, baby.
Hey, when you guys, if you go,
let's ride.
If you go review the pod and, you know, keep tuning in, we'll just move all this out to right out to Vegas, right out to the West Coast. That's fine. We'll just pick up and go.
Five stars. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Australia.